Now, in order to answer these questions and a number of others that might or could arise, we'll have to say something about the yin-yang symbolism. And this brings us to the fourth and last heading of our lecture, after which, I'm afraid, we have to conclude. So, yin-yang symbolism in the stupa. You may remember that I used the terms yin and yang towards the end of last week's lecture. And as I'm sure most of you are aware, these are not Indian terms, not Sanskrit terms, they're Chinese. But they represent a distinction, a polarity of universal validity and importance. And these terms happen to have the convenience, these terms yin and yang, they happen to have the convenience of being quite widely known or well known, even in the West. So I've been making use of them for this reason. Last week we saw that the yin principle was associated with the earth, with water, with the depths, whereas the yang principle is associated with the sky, with fire, with the heights. Yin is the negative, passive principle, if you like, the feminine principle. Yang is the active, masculine principle, the positive principle. Yin is symbolized by the moon. Yang is symbolized by the sun. Yin is emotion. It's the unconscious. Yang is reason. It's the conscious mind. Yin is life. Yang is light. Yin, if you like, is the lower evolution. Yang is the higher evolution. But in the course of the development, in the course of the evolution of the individual, these two principles, the yin and the yang, must be harmonized, must be synthesized. The plant, as we saw last week, is the product, the joint product of soil and rain on the one hand, and of space and sunlight on the other. In much the same way, the individual, the living, growing, evolving individual, is nourished by both yin forces and yang forces. Now, how does this tie up with the stupa? You'll remember that the stupa was originally, in pre-Buddhistic times, a burial mound. And at that time, in that form, it consisted simply of a great heap of earth, a tumulus, if you like, a barrow. And this great heap of earth was associated with the cult of the dead, because the ashes, the bones, the remains of great men, great heroes, kings, sages, were enshrined there, and offerings were made to them, to the dead. And this heap of earth, this burial mound, in this way came naturally to be associated with the earth, associated also therefore with the womb of Mother Nature, Mother in general, in fact. So that we may say that in its original form, or we may say the original stupa itself was a symbol of the yin principle. You remember that the earliest stupas, Buddhist stupas, were made up of the cube and the sphere, or the cube and the hemisphere, and both the cube and the sphere are yin symbols, or if you like, lunar symbols. So the original stupa, containing or consisting of simply these two geometrical or architectural elements was a yin symbol. Now, where did the smaller cube come from? And also, what is the origin of the umbrella? The triple umbrella, very often, by which the cube, in many stupas, including the Nepalese stupas, is surmounted. Both these symbols, or both these forms, come from a parallel cult. A cult, an ancient Indian cult, pre-Buddhistic cult, parallel to the cult of the dead, parallel to the worship of the forces of earth, of nature. They both come from the cult of the sun and its associated solar symbolism. In ancient India, even before the time of Buddhism, there were a number of solar symbols. And two of these in particular were of importance, and they were the sacred fire and the sacred tree. The sacred fire burned on the hearth of every home, or at least the home of every orthodox follower of the Vedas. And it also burned in the middle of the village. And in the middle of the village it burned on a small square, that is a cubeiform brick altar. And it burned in a small shrine, or sort of idealized hut. And this hut often stood at the foot of the sacred tree of the village, which could have been a peepal or a banyan tree. And the tree also was a solar symbol. Later on in the history of Indian art, history of Buddhism, the tree became stylized into an umbrella, which has much the same significance. So from all this we can see that the Harmika, that second cube of the stupa, as in the Nepalese stupa, in its origins was the fire altar. And the umbrella by which it was surmounted, or is surmounted, in this kind of stupa, is a stylized version of the sacred tree. So what has happened? What has happened is that two solar symbols, the fire altar and the umbrella or tree, have been superimposed upon two lunar symbols, that is to say, the cube and the sphere, or the hemisphere, the tumulus, the barrow. In much the same way, in the case of the geometrical forms, the saucer and the cone were placed on top of the cube and the sphere. So we see from this that the stupa is not just a synthesis of the five elements, not just an arrangement of the symbols of the five elements in ascending order, it's also a synthesis of Indian solar and lunar symbolism. It's also a synthesis of the yin and the yang principles. So that we may say that in a sense, the stupa is an architectural embodiment of the whole Buddhist teaching.